John Walden here. Welcome to our Bible study. 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Now, most of this chapter, verses 2 through 15, are really a parenthesis. And then the latter part of it we'll take up in another study. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly. Now, following up his reluctance to speak of himself, Paul is led by the Spirit to call it his folly. Distasteful as it was necessary to answer his critics and to prove that he wanted no glory for himself, only for the Lord, as he had stated in the preceding chapter in verse 17. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And also to prove to them that he was really an apostle sent of God, and that the message that they had heard was the true gospel as revealed to him by the Lord himself. He had not learned it from the other apostles. He had not made it up on his own. It's very wrong to refer to the teachings of Paul as though they were an addition to or contrary to the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a chosen vessel to carry the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, when he asks that they bear with him, he is asking that they listen to what he has to say and that they consider seriously the difference between his teaching and the teaching of these false people. And he says in verses 2 and 3, I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. Now, jealousy is not always bad. A man who really loves his wife ought to be jealous of her enough that he certainly would not want to share her with others. And the name for God is jealous, with a capital J in the Old Testament. He says, my name is jealous. And in this case, we mustn't confuse it with envy. Envy is always wrong. But jealousy can be godly, and this was a godly jealousy. Because Paul was the one who had led the Corinthians to Christ, and he wanted them to belong to God alone. He wanted them to be his possession, the Lord's own. He says, I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. He was looking on to the time when in the 19th of Revelation, the church would be claimed by the Lord as his bride at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he remembers that just as Satan, and he mentions this in verse 3, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. As Satan led Eve away from God and away from her husband, so these false teachers were corrupting the believers from the simplicity toward Christ. Now, I think it's important for us to understand the kind of teaching that these false teachers were giving. They were teaching legality. They were teaching law-keeping. And anyone who teaches you that you can be saved only by keeping the law, or that the keeping of the law is any part of your salvation, is one of these false teachers. They were the ones who gave Paul the worst trouble. And the early church suffered the most from these Judaizers, or these people who tried to lead them back to Judaism, tried to lead them back to law-keeping. And this is true for the believer as well as for the unbeliever. If anyone is trying to get you to keep the law in order to keep saved, this is a very wicked thing. You could no more keep the law after you're saved than you could before. The fact of the matter is that the law is no longer the standard, because the Lord Jesus told us in the Sermon on the Mount that he gave them a much higher standard than that of the law. The law could not furnish you with the ability to keep it. But when you receive Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes within, and he enables you to live to please the Lord. Now, these Judaizers were trying to lead them back to Judaism, back to the law. And they were false teachers, and they were corrupting these believers. And now he explains what he means by this, by exposing these false teachers as the servants of Satan. He says, he that cometh preaching another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. There is only one true gospel. That's the story of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only true Savior. The word for another here is a word which means a different kind. And these people brought a different kind of Jesus, not the Jesus of the Bible. They brought one who was a Jew. They brought one who was merely a man. They told them about a Jesus who kept the law and urged them to imitate him in hopes of becoming believers, becoming Christians. And they received another spirit. And since this was not the Holy Spirit, then it must have been the spirit of Satan. You see, it's a very serious thing to turn away from the clear gospel that's taught in the New Testament. All preachers are not the servants of Christ. And he tells you how you may see the difference. He says, I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles, that is, the 12 who lived in Jerusalem and had not moved very far out from Jerusalem. And he adds, though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. If he didn't pronounce his words exactly right, if he did not appeal to them with the great flights of oratory, he certainly was teaching them the truth. And this is far more important than how it is said. And he says, we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. He lived above board. He lived in such a way that people could examine his life. And he said, have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? When Paul came to Corinth, which was a very rich city, he was supported in part by the people who lived in Macedonia who were very poor. Now, he could accept help from these poor Macedonians because they were spiritual, but he rejected it from these rich but carnal Corinthians. A servant of the Lord cannot accept help from everybody. We have no right to accept help from the unsaved. That's why no appeals are ever made on this program for help. We do not want the help of those who are not saved, and we do not want the help of those who are carnal and away from the Lord. Only those who belong to the Lord and only those who really follow the Word of God have any right to have any part in the spread of the gospel. And he refers here to these Macedonians and perhaps to the Philippians and others who had helped him. And he says, when I was present with you, well, first of all, in verse 8, he said, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you a service. Now, this does not mean wages in the sense of so much for so much. The word wages here is the same word as is translated in Luke's gospel in the marginal reading as a soldier's rations. The Roman soldiers did not get pay as such. They got rations. And at the end of the campaign, then the spoil was divided up among them. And we who serve the Lord ought to be satisfied with just merely our rations and wait till we get to heaven to get our reward. Then he said, when I was present with you and wanted or needed something, I was chargeable to no man. I didn't expect others to support me, for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia, that is, around about Corinth. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. He did not want them to be able to say that they were paying him for what he gave, or that he was doing what he did because he was covetous, because he wanted something for himself. And he was not doing it as an intentional offense, because he dearly loved the Corinthians. It was to expose these false teachers for what they really were, They certainly were after the money that they could get. And they made themselves a burden to these Corinthians. They hadn't helped to build up the work at all, but they came in to reap the harvest. They came in to take from the people everything that they could get. Very much like Saul when he was made king over Israel. Samuel said, I'll tell you the kind of king you've chosen. He's going to take everything he can get for himself. Now, a man who does this is not a true servant of Christ, for the Lord Jesus himself, we were told in the 8th chapter, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And so he says, is it because I don't love you? God knows. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now I don't want to discredit any servant of Christ. But I want to tell you that all people who take the place of being preachers and being teachers are not necessarily the servants of Christ. These people were false, they were deceitful, they were imposters, and they were said to be the servants of Satan. Now the devil is not yet in hell, and he's not the ugly, horned, long-tailed fiend that is pictured, although at times he does come as a roaring lion. But in this passage, he is said to be a fallen angel, claiming to have light, as an angel of light, but duping his people. May the Lord deliver you from such a one and turn you to himself for his name's sake. Amen.